Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. As we heard the words of our Lord in our gospel reading, you can't help but wonder whether we've already maybe skipped ahead a few days to Trinity Sunday, as Jesus speaks, not just in these verses, but throughout that discourse on the night of his betrayal, speaking of his relationship to the Father and that continual promise he gave of sending one who would come to help, the helper, the comforter. When you get Jesus, you get the whole Trinity. The Father and the Son together to bring us life and salvation. The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to give life for all, is one that the Spirit joyfully proclaims through the church, through that very word of Christ that has been delivered to us. Summarized perhaps so simply in those words of Jesus that most anyone can quote by heart, not just even Christians. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Yet when you hear a phrase like that, and people like to put their 316 banners in the stadiums so they can be caught on camera at football games and baseball games, yet you take that verse and go on, just one more verse, a couple verses later, you quickly hear Jesus speaking very different words. Not only words about coming to save, but he also speaks about words of judgment, of evil deeds, of loving the darkness more than the light. And that really points to the heart of the gospel, the blunt truth of the gospel, that it is always and ever spoken in the context of man's sinful nature. Jesus says that he didn't come to condemn the world, yet the reality is the whole world is condemned already. By and large, we know that's true, though we tend to see it much more clearly in others than in ourselves. I don't have much trouble taking note of the moral failures of my neighbor. It's pretty easy to see. And the closer the neighbor, the easier to see. But God forbid that I would acknowledge the same defect in myself. And so above all else, I want to hold on to a righteousness that is my own, even if it's just a very small sliver. My sinful nature balks at the thought that God alone brings forth faith that is born of the Spirit. With every fiber of my being, I want to say, I can do it, that I can make my way to God, that I can make my way back to God when I've strayed. But God will have none of that. By your own reason or strength, you simply cannot believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord, or come to him. Neither the confession you made at the beginning of the service or the trust you have in Christ's word of absolution, none of that is possible were it not for the fact that you have been called. Passive voice. You can do none of it on your own. It's God the Spirit, in his mercy, who can and does call you by means of the gospel, delivering Christ and all his benefits. Jesus comes to bring that life, not to condemn the world. And so we proclaim that with joy and gladness. That's why you're here, undergoing these preparations to serve in his church. And now in just a few days, this seminary community is going to scatter. It'll become almost a ghost town for a while. Some of you are heading off to summer vicarages, others to your year-long vicarage or internship. Unique opportunities await for you to put into practice the very essence of our Christian faith, the life-changing news that Jesus came to bring salvation, to save those sinners so desperately in need of life. All of these experiences you will have through the summer and the coming year are little steps along the way, leading, of course, to that goal of serving in his church. And for those of you who now have calls, well, your minds are on other things, aren't they? Details related to how you're going to get from here to there, wherever there may be, planning your ordination installation services, visiting family perhaps before you settle in. But it won't be long and you will be settling in place, not moving year by year like you've been doing the last few years, but staying put, there serving gentlemen, as called and ordained servants of Christ, bringing to them all the benefits that Christ bestows on his church, sent by Christ himself for that very purpose. And you will have but one focus, to make plain to the saints in that place, the saints under your care, that Jesus comes today to bring them salvation. Yes, you will speak the full counsel of God, which necessarily includes the blunt assessment that we cannot find Jesus on our own. But make no mistake, your proclamation will always be saturated with one thing: Jesus, the friend of sinners, the Savior of the world, the Savior of your own soul. Opposition to that message, I promise you, will be fierce, with competing opinions fighting against the truth at every turn. St. John had it right. Actually, Jesus, recorded by John, when he said that men love the darkness more than the light. In fact, it's not just a lack of love, it's downright hatred that the world has for Christ and his church. Hatred of all that Jesus represents. Hence, your preaching must be in conformity with the spirit of truth. He speaks only one message: Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It will be your joy to trumpet that good news of salvation. With beautiful feet, you will carry that message far and wide, sacrificing personal gain, precisely so that Christ may increase. Not everyone will believe the good news that you proclaim. Learn not to take it personally. It's simply a corollary to our confession that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. You can't make others believe either. But simply rejoice in this truth, that the Spirit is at work through his life-giving word and through the precious food of salvation that he sets before us, that we might banquet with him. Not only creating saving faith in the coldest of hearts, but preserving a holy remnant for the day of Christ's return. So rejoice in the Holy Spirit's consolation. He is the helper who indeed does help you, even as he gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church, and as he keeps you firm in the faith, ever bearing witness to Jesus, your Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.